Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk, the connection, a platform where we discuss issues affecting young people. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Tabaka Ncube. Today on Live Talk, we are discussing lessons learned from the last farming season that was affected by the El Nino-induced drought and the prospects for the 2024 to 2025 farming season. But first, the small island nation of the Seychelles off the east coast of Africa has become the unlikely setting of a great power rivalry. China has been making diplomatic inroads for years, while the U.S. has only recently returned to the strategic Indian Ocean archipelago. Kate Bartlett traveled to the island of Mahé in the Seychelles for more on what China and the U.S. are doing to win the hearts of the residents there.
The islands of Seychelles are not only picture-perfect for honeymooners, they've also long attracted global superpowers.
We do notice that there are various powers, various countries, wanting to, woo us. Seychelles has made the decision that there will be, that will never be a military base on its territory, a foreign military base.
The archipelago's strategic position in the Indian Ocean, east of Africa, and south of the Gulf States has been of interest to countries such as the US, India, and China from the past to the present day. In 1963, during the Cold War, the US built a tracking station on the main island of Mahé to monitor Russian satellites. 73-year-old island resident Paul Chow remembers the Americans when they were stationed on the island.
I was the head of the basketball, local island basketball team, and we used to play against the technicians at the tracking station.
Then, in the 90s, several years after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the U.S. closed its embassy here and shut down the tracking station a month later. Almost three decades later, at a time when U.S.-China competition is heating up, Washington, once again, has set its eyes on Seychelles.
The reopening of the embassy underscores the importance that the United States places on the partnership that we have with Seychelles.
The Chinese embassy in Mahé declined a request for an interview. But in the years of Washington's absence, China has been making diplomatic gains in Seychelles. It sent doctors and built hospitals, affordable housing, the parliament, and the courts, all for free. China also gifted the state television company a new building.
The difference is that China's support to Seychelles is tangible. You can see them. You don't see the support that the U.S. provides us.
Rather than building buildings, we're building capacity. And wherever we can help to provide input and expertise, whether it is on drug trafficking or the legal system or police force, we're happy to do that. And that's where we see really making an investment. You're planting seeds for the future. It's again, not the same thing as a building, but we believe that it's an even more important contribution to make.
But that may not be enough to capture the hearts of some residents here.
China helps the Seychelles a lot. So people generally have a very positive view of China. But whereas maybe the U.S., they left back in the 90s, so we don't really get in touch with Americans that much.
While some residents fear their country is being used as a pawn in the geopolitical power play, President Wavell Ramkalawan's position is clear.
Seychelles is not part of this. We will receive Chinese warships in port, Indian warships, European warships, U.S. warships, because we are friends with everyone.
With two-thirds of the world's oil shipments passing through, the Indian Ocean is a key waterway, which keeps Seychelles on the map for geopolitical rivals, such as China and the U.S., as they compete for influence here. Kate Bartlett, VOA News, Mahé, Seychelles.
It's known as poor man's cocaine. The illegal drug Captagon was a major moneymaker for the regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Now the rebels who overthrew him have been dismantling state-run factories that produce the stimulant. Reporter Joan Cabasas Vega went inside one of the largest in the region and has more in this report narrated by Veronica Villafen.
Driving about 20 kilometers northeast of Damascus, the road leads to a remote area of Douma and this factory. It once produced potato chips, but President Bashar al-Assad's regime repurposed it to manufacture Captagon, the banned stimulant often called poor man's cocaine.
The al-Assad clan were the largest drug producers in the world.
Basel is a member of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, the rebel group that overthrew Assad and is now in power. He preferred not to give his last name. Inside these electrical boxes, he reveals hidden stockpiles of the amphetamine-like stimulant prepared for export.
All the Captagon hidden here is the responsibility of Maher al-Assad, Bashar's brother, and their allies. They hid the pills inside these electrical devices with up to 2 kilograms of Captagon in each device and distributed them to countries all over the world.
Experts say the Captagon trade became a critical financial lifeline for the Assad regime, helping mitigate the impact of international sanctions. The drug generated roughly $2.4 billion of profit per year for the Assad family, according to the New Lines Institute. At the factory, tools and chemicals used to produce Captagon are still visible. Boxes filled with pills are scattered across the site, alongside packaging materials designed to disguise the drug trade. Captagon, they say, was often smuggled inside orange juice boxes, electronic components, and even high-end furniture. HTS rebels say workers set the factory on fire before fleeing, likely in an attempt to destroy evidence. They say they have discovered up to 160 similar facilities across Syria. They also found documents detailing commercial activity, including records of buyers that list countries, companies, and individuals. In 2023, the British government estimated that 80% of the world's supply of Captagon came from Syria. Now, HTS rebels claim it is time to end drug production in the country. They say that selling drugs to fund their operations does not align with their values. For Joan Cabasas Vega in Douma, Syria, Veronica Villafañe, VOA News.
With that, let's take a short break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe has started receiving significant rains, giving farmers a chance to start planting, but some, including young farmers, are still recovering from losses made last season. Are there any lessons that can help farmers navigate the ever-changing conditions caused by climate change? To discuss this, we are joined by Zimbabwe Farmers Union Harare Province Youth Chair, Ms. Lucy Kundai Zwaraya. Welcome to the show, Ms. Zwaraya.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. We also have on the line AfroStain Farm Tech Managing Director, Mr. Wenceslas Nyamufukuza. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's actually my pleasure to be part of this show.
Thank you. I will start with you, Mr. Zwaraya. Most farmers made huge losses last season due to the drought. What are some of the lessons that can be drawn from this experience that can help them this year and moving forward to other seasons?
I would say the drought last season exposed key vulnerabilities in Zimbabwean farming system. These key lessons include how crucial water conservation is, because the erratic rains highlighted the importance of investing in water harvesting techniques such as small dams. We saw that farmers who have the resources have started doing small dams now and water reservoirs. We also saw that the importance of climate resilient crops. Farmers relying on maize faced significant losses. The drought underscored the need for drought-tolerant crops like sorghum, millet, and cowpeas. We also noticed that diversification is key. Solely relying on one crop or type of farming is very risky, as witnessed last year. Farmers who had diversified into horticulture and small grains or livestock fared better in some areas. We also noticed that efficient irrigation is important because farmers who are using drip irrigation managed to stretch the limited water resources more effectively than those farmers who are using traditional methods or who didn't have irrigation equipment.
Thanks, Mr. Zwaraya. Mr. Nyamufukuza, are there any lessons from last season that can make things better for farmers this season?
Sorry, may I please come again?
I said, are there any lessons that you saw from last season that can make things better for farmers this season and other seasons that are to come?
Oh, thank you so much. So, actually, the last season, the El Nino-induced drought actually exposed the level of unpreparedness of our young farmers in terms of facing the catastrophic effects of climate change. I'm talking about things like being unprepared for what's going to come in terms of the incessant rains, sporadic events within the growing seasons, of which farmers that we have, almost in modern days, they are much more focused on high-value projects, of which they are not prepared to understand what it takes, things like the use of satellite data analytics, even drones, to do things like yield predictions, monitor what's going to happen in terms of the changes on the weather. So at least right now, having seen one of these and a series of previous yesteryear issues, farmers now understand that for you to be able to produce the best in terms of returns on your investment, you need to have sufficient insights and you need to have sufficient knowledge about the site-specific challenges that you're going to face. And that's a very good lesson that farmers have learned, unfortunately, through the hard way. And the next issue that I would need to also put into perspective is the issue that farmers have understood now that it's more important to adapt more than just doing farming the old way. And majority of those farmers now have got a diversified portfolio in terms of the project that they are now doing. And not only adapting, but also adopting new strategies, those that are understanding the issues to do with precision agriculture, actually adopting new strategies and new technologies. So those are some of the key things that farmers are actually learning and improving as the season progresses. And of course, among other lessons, I've realized that farmers have now understood that there is a need for continuous learning and improving their knowledge, which is something that is very important. I'm talking about improving knowledge on the new systems and improving knowledge in terms of generally the way climate behaves and the way seasons operate, and sometimes just reminding them that not all the time that when you plan, things go through their own way. Sometimes when you plan, things might go the next way. So that's something that has been there already, but at least it has been a reminder to the farmers. So those are just most of the key lessons that farmers have mastered. Unfortunately, sometimes in a bad way, but for these previous seasons, it's something that farmers actually understand that it needs to continuously learn and improve.
Thank you, Mr. Nyamfukuza. Ms. Saraya, you spoke earlier about a number of issues that you said farmers learned from: water conservation, drought-tolerant crops, diversification, irrigation, and also Mr. Nyamfukuza also weighed in and spoke about climate change adaptation, learning new systems. As looking at contrasting this year and the past season, do you think farmers are now at that stage where we can say they have managed to adapt, or it's a process that will take a long time? Can you say, both of you spoke about farmers understanding what needs to be done, but when it comes to practically doing it on the ground, do you think now farmers are in that position where they can say they are now prepared to move on and they can be climate change proofed?
Okay, what I
would
say is the farmers have learned the lessons, but unfortunately, implementation is difficult for most of them, as it comes crisis in a challenging economy. You will notice that most of the recommendations or the problems that have the lessons that we drew from last year, for example, the technique of constructing dams and water reservoirs, it applies to those farmers who are maybe more on the commercial side, but it's difficult for people in remote parts of the country, yet they are the same people who are affected by drought more, as they do not have disposable income to supplement their feed. So I think the farmers have learned the lessons, but in terms of implementation, probably 10 to 15% of the affected farmers are actually implementing. They know, but unfortunately, implementation is difficult due to the expense that can be incurred whilst trying to implement.
Thank you, Mr. Zaraya. Vanyamfukuza, sezvo varimi vakawanda vari kumaruwa sezvo kutaura na Muzvare Zaraya vasati vagona kuti vawanewo mukana kana kuti maresources ekuti vagone kurima vachidiridzira, vagone kushandisawo michina yechizvino zvino kana kuti kuitawo nzira dzekuti kushanduka kwemamiriro ekunze kusavakanganise, ndezvipi zvinhu zvingavabatsira kuti zvisinei nekuti havana maresources ekushandisa vange vachirimawo vachibudirira? Tichitarisa mwaka uyo watapinda wegore.
All right, thank you so much. Actually, it's mainly sitting out on this with my farmers. I told my small scale or my communal farmers. My farmers, I could see, I know, sweet dependent or I know the government, and I was in my head out most of the time. Which are not kurima kwavo ivo pachezvo vako hakusi kurima kwekuti vanenge vachitofocusa more in the commercial side. So zvatinenge tichifanira kunge tichivagana kuti zvavanofanira kunge vachiita ivo chekutanga ndechekuti vanofanira kufocusa nemacrops aya kana kuti zvirimwa zviya zvinokwanisa kuti vange vachiva ne sufficient food security. which is issue kuti vanofanira kuva ine chikafu kuti panotanga gore kusvika tipera vanenge vachikwanisa kunge vachidya kana 1 or 3 mameals per day, which is what is considered kuti munhu at least inenge ine bit of food security. But not only that, panenge paine issue yekuti vange vaine nutrition security, kureva kuti zvacho zvavanorima ipapo kana zvavanenge vachizokwanisa kunge vachidya zvinofanira kunge zvine hutano hwakakwana, which is number 2. Number 3, vanofanira kunge vaine again vachifokasa nemacrops anoita kuti even though vakanzi havasi kuita zvavo for commercial kana kurima zvinhu zvine mari, vanofanira kungowanawo at least mari inokwanisa kuti kana vakada kuzoitawo kuzotengawo zvakaita sei zvinovabatsira pamusha pavo, let's say vada kutengawo any new things and so forth, vanofanira kunge vaine mari yakakwana kana kuti ndiri kureva kuti income security. So in other words, I'm talking about household food security, household nutrition security, as well as household food security. Sakuti vange vachidaro now, pane chinhu 1 chatisingakwanisi kubvisa, whether uri commercial farmer kana kuti uri communal farmer or uri large scale, which is an issue of continuous learning. Varimi vanofanira kuramba vachidzidza zviri kuenderana kuchinja kwemamiriro ekunze, zvinofanira kunge zvichiitwa nekuda kwekuchinja ikoko. Uyezve zvanaka mazuva ano kuti hakusisina masituations ekuti munhu anenge achiudzwa information nevanhu vanenge vabva kuHarare kana vabva kuGrowth Point. Mazuva ano information yaakungowanika, munhu anokwanisa kuwana any knowledge kwese kwaanenge ari. So mafarmers iwayo ndiri kurudzira kuti vange vaine masmartphone, not kuti vange vaine maordinary phones aya ekuti munhu anenge atokwanise kana kuwana any information and so forth. Vakakwanisa kuene vaine masmartphones zvinoita kuti vange vaine information neknowledge mumafingertips avo, kana kuti pavanenge vaidira ipa vanofanira kungoiwana, so that vanokwanisa kucommunicata nemunhu ari anyway, vachikwanisa kunge vaine access to that part of the puzzle. Then lastly, vasazonyaisa kuramba vari dependent madonors or development partners, nekuti mostly ndozvinozoita kuti vanhu vasange vachizoda kutsvaka information yekuti voimprova sei marimiro avo. Because zvakakosha kuti kana munhu achinge achirima chikafu chake achirimirawo vamwe oimprovawo household income yake, anovawo munhu ane hutano financially mumusoro chaimo, vanokwanisa kufungawo zviri smart because unenge uchiziva kuti unenge uchiimprova the way you live and so forth. So those are the things that I think communal farmers really wire anosipiwa madonations, vanosipiwa mahandouts pese pese, ndozvo vanofanira kufokasa nazvo, so vasanyanyise kudipenda nemadonations, and also vakwanise kuzodzidzisawo vachateera the next generation kuti zvinofambiswa sei.
Tinotenda vanyamufukudza. Muzvare zvaraya, vamwewo vangati tavasiya panze sezvo tiri kutarisa kurima. Pane vamwewo varimi vakarasikirwa nezvipfuwo zvavo, mombe nezvimwe mwaka wapera, uyezve pakatanga kunaya mvura takaonawo zvimwe zvipfuwo zvichifa. Vanhu vangaita sei kuti vazvidzivirire, tichitarisa zvikuru livestock yavo, kuti zvisarambe vachingorasikirwa gore negore?
Okay, so I would say for livestock protection, kana kuti kuchengetedza zvipfuwo, farmers need to have adequate feed, because as we notice, drought leads to poor grazing pastures. So they need supplements. If they are capable, they can supplement with silage or commercial feed. Kana takutaswa varimi vedu vanenge vasinawo homo yakasimba, vanogona kushandisa macrop residuals. Zvingavewo izvozvo zvati chibage chakaramba kusvika ichocho, vanogona kuzvichengeta pakanaka. Ndinoona vamwe vanovakira vechichengeta pateti vanenge vakachipirika mudenga kuti tisadyiwe nemadziri, ndozopota vachipe mombe dzavo munguva iyo inenge isingawanike zvekuti dzidye. And then and for the commercial farmers, they can always grow crops for silage under irrigation and also do commercial feed. As he says, and that's all our users can afford. Kutengera mombe chikafu nedzimwe nguva, sadzari yekutodya nenge resipi. Saka vanogona kuchengetedza makoperatives inotorawo nguva ine iripo vochengetera mhombe dzavo. Then tinoiwa panyaya yewater access. They should ensure there is clean water that is available for livestock because mhombe hadzidi mvura yavo ine tsvina. Saka vanogona kuwanopa vachengetera mvura yavo yekuzopota vachipa mhombe. Kana kuvari avo vane maresources vanogona kuzvinda mabhoho specifically for mhombe. Kuitira kuti mvura kana ikapera mumadhamu kana munzizi mhombe dzizokwanisa kuwanawo mvura. Then toyawo panyaya yekupreventa madiseases because futi panoitika madrought iwaya kana kukapisa zvakanyanya mvura yakasanaya takaona futi kuti panogona kusimuka chizvirwere. So they should vaccinate livestock against the common diseases nekuti tinoona kuti vamwe vekumaruwa vari kusanganawo nemachallenges ekuti havasi kunanzo vaccinata zvipfuwo zvavo semufanirwa zvinofanira kuita. Saka ipapo kuti pandogadziriswa kuti mhombe ngadzigarewo dzakasimba dzisazoti nzara zvese nezvirwere dzinogona kuzowandira. Toyawo futi panyaya yekuprotecta from heat kukaitawo maheat wave takaona kuti anoafektiwo zvipfuwo zvakanyanya zvinogona zvisina kondidhwe nevakawanda. Saka tinokurudzirawo kuti munzvimbo dzatinofudzira mhombe dzedu ngadzivewo nemiti yekutiwo tisazoteme miti yese nekuti kana makazvitarisa kuchipisa mhombe dzinogona kuenda pasi pemiti kutizawo hiti. But kana tikatema miti yese tikapedza zvinogona kushambidzawo zvipfuwo zvedu yatinoti livestock pachirungu. Kune vane maresources they can create shelters around grazing areas to provide shade. Kune vasinawo ngatitewo kuti kumafuru tisarewo miti iriko kana kutodyara miti wofuta. Ndozvimwe zvandingataurawo pamusoro pekuchengetedza zvipfuwo.
Tinotenda Muzare Zvaraya. Vanyamufukudza, briefly tichipendera chirongwa chedu chanhasi, ndeapi mashoko amungasiyira varimi amungati aya akanyanyisa kukoshesesa in less than a minute?
Thank you so much. Farmers should have sufficient knowledge and always seek to improve their mode of farming. What's happening is these challenges that we are having are not starting now. They've been there for too long. But it's important for farmers to constantly learn and adapt to new technologies and solutions so that they can deal with all the challenges that they are facing with their national or their average output or productivity. So if farmers focus on those things, I'm sure they'll be able to get the best from their sweat, which is actually the most important and ultimate goal of farming.
Thank you so much. Let me take this opportunity to thank Mr. Lucy Zvaraya and Mr. Wenceslas Anyamfukuza for coming on Live Talk today. Sibonga kakhulu ukuthi bangene kuhlelo namhlanje lapha ke sikhuluma khona ngendaba ezikhangelane labalimi ikakhulu ngalesi sikhathi sukusuka esikhathini sokuthi izulu alinanga kuhle ngomnyaka owedlule okubangele ukuthi kube lendlala abalimi abaningi baswela ukuthi bathole labo okuphuma emasimini abanye belahlekelwe izifuyo. Bebuye lapha basika phake ulwazi lokuthi abalimi bengenza njani ukuthi bazithuthukise. Tishenda zvikuru vapinda muchirongwa chedu cheLive Talk nasi vangava vachititsisa nezvekuti varimi vangaita sei kuitira kuti vasarambe vachirasikirwa sezvo paine kushanduka kwemamiriro ekunze kuri kuenderera mberi. Okwanamhlanje sesichaye kwazela sibo ngakhulu sihlangane njalo okuhlelo lwe Live Talk okusasa ngesikhathi sika 8 ntambama. And that brings us to the end of our show. Sibonga kakhulu umuli yeZimbabwe ukuthi lingenile labona uhlelo lwethu lanamhlanje. Thank you all for joining us. Signing off in Washington, I am Thabo Kancube.